Hey, libertarian, socialist, and wannabe. Here I am. The world is crazy right now. Crazy. I think the United States just got told no. America got told no. Because a couple nights ago, Federal Reserve's overnight lending rate to 2.25% was breached. And some people or some entities actually saw rates as high as 10%. And so the Fed had to inject some money into the system. There was a liquidity problem, as they say, which is a fancy way of saying there was no money. The Fed had to print some money up, so to speak. And they had plans last night to inject another $75 billion, the New York Fed, because they anticipated some further issues here. Nonetheless, the money that transferred last night, 1% of that money traded at 9%, which means $12 billion was traded at 9% overnight, which is 4 times the rate that the Fed says overnight lending is supposed to be. Somebody needed to move $12 billion, or multiple entities needed to move $12 billion, and that was what it was going to cost. Didn't matter what the Federal Reserve said. Why is that? This liquidity problem. And it's smelling a lot like 2008. They're kind of glossing over it here, and then the Fed goes and cuts the rate. But if the Fed cuts rates, and this overnight lending rate isn't adhered to by the bank because there's no longer any faith that America is not headed by a crazy person, and is just not basically very haphazard in its actions, unpredictable. A tweet here, a tweet there changes everything. You can't make plans. Maybe countries can start moving their money away from America because we're just not seen as responsible anymore. The fact is we've been able to get away with these huge deficits, especially of late when this tax cut under number 45 has led to over $1 trillion deficits immediately upon him taking office. It's terrible. Running the country like he runs his companies into bankruptcy. And the rest of the world has finally decided that they really, really do not have faith anymore. I mean, currently right now, the dollar is the reserve currency and it's strong. And countries, Beijing, Tehran even, Moscow, they have pallets of dollars somewhere in their central banks as their reserve. And when there's some rough spot, they just go and get a pallet. Boom, take it out. That's how they fix things. The dollar is the currency of the world. But I don't know what happened overnight, but something happened. We should be paying a little more attention to it because we did not really regulate the banks and fix the stuff like we ought to have fixed. The 30s brought about clear regulations that mattered. And we loosened those. And then we loosened them, and we had the junk bond crisis, the late 80s, early 90s. Then we loosened them a little bit more. And we end the Volcker Rule, and oh my goodness, there's just no limit on the amount of gambling that's going on with everybody's money. So, I'm concerned. I don't know what to say about it. There's so much other stuff in the news, but I think right now the United States is being told, no, quit printing money. We're going to start taking our money out of the system. We're going to move it elsewhere. The Chinese have now come up with a digital renminbi. So they're going to have a national cryptocurrency, which is, rather interesting to think about what that means. I mean, if it's going to be backed by something like gold or some kind of hard asset that is transparent to the rest of the world, it may be a place where people, other entities move their money. when the United States is not being seen as being run in a responsible manner. And maybe there's concern around the world about a war, you know, an invasion of Iran. And so this is a way to put a check on the potential of that happening. It's hard to know, but it's also hard to ignore. So, fair warning, I might buy a little gold or a little silver if I were you. I have. That's why, what can I say, right? Libertarian, that libertarian part of the libertarian socialism, right? That's there, you know, it's real. So, you know, number 45 is out of my side of the country here, talking about homelessness and such. Maybe it's going to help us out. Man, there's just so much blame seems to go around and how liberal policies have to do with homelessness. And I'm here to tell you, it's very clear. There's a very clear connection to when homelessness started and how it cycled further and further. So, my grandparents worked at the Napa State Hospital, where people, if they couldn't take care of themselves, they became wards of the state. It was what happened in the United States when you had a real safety net. If you couldn't take care of yourself, if you were seen to be, you know, socially not quite able to take care of yourself, you became a ward of the state. Now, because my grandparents worked at the Napa State Hospital, I was there, I saw these people. They weren't scary people. You know, they were just people who were not going to be able to take care of themselves. You know, they really were not going to be able to hold job. They could work there as a janitor, maybe, and be supervised by my grandmother or my grandfather, you know, or do the laundry, stuff of that nature. But, you know, being out in the real world, it's going to be taken advantage of. Bad stuff's going to happen. So, you know, as a society, we take care of them. So in the 80s, there's these cutbacks, you know, under Reagan, right, when they really start to chop at the American social safety net. And they basically start to turn out these people who are wards of the state. It's very expensive to take care of them. Now, Napa State Hospital now is, like, for the criminally insane. I mean, it's kind of an interesting mix, I think, there. I haven't been there in a number of years, so I can't really speak to it. But that's my understanding. And so I remember when I first saw my first homeless person here behind the orange curtain, it was like 82, 83, and I was, you know, I was in my early 20s, 20, 21, something like that, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, this guy's not really drunk, you know, because you see people drunk before that, you know what I mean, they're really just, you know, they're drunk people, you know, Skid Row kind of stuff, and so, you know, I mean, you have town drunks, and, you know, I mean, you would have transients, you know, hobos, but they were transient. They would come through, maybe, occasionally. But the idea of, like, shanty towns, like, is what's occurring now, I mean, terrible. And it's a direct result of the shredding of the safety net. We now have generations of people who have grown up on the street. We also have people out there who don't believe in the American dream really anymore. They want to live in a tent. They don't believe that X amount of work and time and money is worth a cracker box. And they prefer to have this freedom. They work. It's not like they're not hardworking. It's that they don't want to make the trade-off that a lot of Americans do, which is a huge amount of debt. It's unsustainable. And enormous amounts of hours in a horrific job where you're not treated well. And who's to say they're not actually maybe onto something there? In any case, that is never part of the conversation, that there are people, there is a segment of society that's really just rejecting the idea of what it is to live in America and living in a tent on the side of a road is okay. It's trade-off of what it would take to get a cracker box in a certain town, maybe it's just too much. So as a nation, this is where maybe, this is where Medicare for All might fit in, right? Libertarian socialism, do you believe in Medicare for All? No, I don't believe in Medicare for All. Medicare is okay. It's better than nothing. So these people on the street, right? We would take, this is where Medicare, these people, Medicare, if you don't have anything else, that makes sense. That makes a lot more sense. and basically having economic refugee camps. This is what these people are, is economic refugees, a lot of them. They're not all drug addicts and horrible criminals and rapists, yada yada. I have been close to them. I see them all the time, every day. I ride my bicycle as a bicycle commuter. And I'll probably put a link in the verbiage that introduces this. So you can go maybe see that I'm not exaggerating. There are shanty towns in one of the richest counties in the United States. Now, is this because of California's policies? I'm not 100% sure. Maybe it's because California actually has some kind of social safety net, so it does attract them. Weather's another issue. Now, a lot of jealousy and attacking of California is happening, and along maybe like environmental lines. And let me tell you how these other states, in my opinion, take advantage. So, for example, California's recycling a lot of this plastic and has a cash redemption value on a lot of things, and they give money back. It's kind of a tax, but there is this attempt to really try and recycle everything, or at least a lot of it. And what we have found is that you have to monitor our border, or people in Arizona, Nevada are bringing in their trash as money and trying to turn it into money. So then Arizona gets their trash picked up and it gets trucked over to California, who then pays for it. Talk about being taken advantage of, right? At some point, California doesn't have all the money to support all you other 49 states and your very poor policies, and you don't take care of your environment. Like, we build a wall in California and say, no, you can't bring your waste in here anymore and take it to our recycling centers. Because that's happening. And that's the same thing that's happening with the homeless population. And yet here you have number 45, like, blaming California policies. It's a lot more complicated than that. And it's directly related to policies in the coming from the central government in the 1980s. And then we have generation after generation on the street. So we're going to have to pay attention to this stuff. We cannot continue to spend money just on war, on the war machine. Trillions of dollars on the war machine, and the nation is just circling the drain. I was born in 1962. We were racing to the moon. We had the tallest buildings, the longest bridges, the biggest dams. We were it. Where is the tallest building now? It's not here. The longest bridge, not here. The biggest dam, not here. Pay attention. Pay attention, people. This whole tariff thing that's going on, this war, the trade war, I think there's a lot to do here with the United States trying to protect its intellectual property after allowing it all to be outsourced for decades. Huawei is now potentially a leader in 5G. And we are trying to stymie them. And they have finally just, no, we're not going to stay on the leash anymore. Just to be part of most favored nation status. And with what happened with the Federal Reserve, maybe people are starting to turn to, you know, the globe is starting to turn to China. Goodness. America. We have to take care of our own. We have to. We have to. Right? And lay things out here. Right? Medicare for all. Okay, I get it. Medicare for all is bullshit. Right? It's not going to work. And who has private insurance right now that's decent wants Medicare. People who have Medicare, who have money, have Medigap insurance. So, okay, Medicare for if you don't have anything makes a lot of sense. Medicare for everybody does not make sense to me. That's the libertarian socialist idea. Quit the left-right war so you can think more. And you can arrive at conclusions that go down the line, down the center, address the problem. Instead of taking some ideological point of view that always is taking half the problem and throwing it out, because if you had to deal with it, then you couldn't have your ideological echo chamber anymore. That's the same thing, right? We're talking about homelessness, we're talking about, you know, the money that's being just evaporated in war, what's going on with the Federal Reserve and overnight interest rates. And now we have Greta Thunberg telling us that we need to pay attention to the scientists. Well, the science says, okay, the science says that the Germans increased their carbon emissions when they went to what were only called renewables, which is solar and wind. And solar and wind have negative environmental consequences, and they are not able to produce industrial stable amounts of power. Not able to do it. They end up burning coal because they shut down their nuclear reactors. The oil companies want us to shut down nuclear reactors. I suspect sometimes that the oil companies have been supporting Greenpeace's anti-nuclear stance. It makes no sense. You hear Pompeo talking in Europe. You hear Trump about the Northwest Passage and how it's going to be great. And you hear Trump talking about Greenland. You hear number 45 talking about Greenland, wanting to buy Greenland. They always knew that climate change was being driven by fossil fuels. Their little global warming's not bad. We'll be able to drill for more oil. That is what was in their heads. They're admitting it now. We've got to take control. The science says that fission is the way to go if we want to now, not put carbon into the atmosphere anymore and still have a 21st century lifestyle. Please, people, quit the left-right war so you can think more. Please. Please. And hey, maybe go buy the book, libertarian-socialism.org. Go buy the book. I'm thinking of redoing the cover here. The Gadsden Battle Flag is not getting me a lot of sales. What should I do? I don't know. Open to suggestions. So, there's the libertarian socialist point of view, which is attempt to be objective, an attempt to think about things regardless of ideology. That's really what libertarian socialism is about. It's not about socialism or libertarianism, it's about thinking about things in a rational manner, because money and power, they are not working for us. And we need to work for us together. And the first thing we really need is some paper ballots if we want anything to work. So, paper ballots. If you want to know what's really going on. Maybe 50% of the country does really like number 45. And we'll find out. But maybe it'll turn out that only 25% like him. And then maybe people be a little bit bolder in their ideas. But we need to know. And the only way we're going to know is paper ballots. Quit the left-right war so you can think about